I shall read from Acts chapter 20 and verse 1. And the uproar had ceased. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And so Parter of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men, going ahead, waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. I'd like to speak very briefly on one of the characters mentioned in verse 4, Sopater of Berea. He really is a bit part. It is possible, of course, he's mentioned elsewhere in Romans 16. There is a Sosipater referred to, which might be the posher, more formal version of his name, this being the contraction. It may be him. He's referred to as one of Paul's countrymen. But what do we know about this character from verse 4? Well, he's got an unusual name, Sopater. It means the Father's Saviour. Now, I think that there's some great theology there, but I'm also certain that his parents would not have been aware of it when they gave him that name. I don't think he probably changed his name when he became a Christian, as perhaps people have done in the past. I suspect the name was connected to some kind of family situation, or it's connected to Greek mythology. I don't think there's any particular point I can make about that name. But I can make a point, I think, of where he came from. He's a man of Berea. Luke has decided to give us that detail, as indeed he does for some of the other characters mentioned. Perhaps there was more than one Sopater around. But Berea, we know, had something of a reputation in chapter 17. In contrast, ironically, with Thessalonica, which warranted 2 letters from Paul. We're told by Luke that the people of Thessalonica, of Berea rather, were more fair-minded or nobler. They're more reasonable. They're fairer. So when they hear the gospel being preached, they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Even when Paul is preaching among them, they're not prepared to take his word for it. They want to know that even what the Apostle Paul is telling them is in accordance with what God has already revealed in his word. Well, I can only imagine that our friend Sopater of chapter 20 and verse 4 was among that body of men and women who were searching the scriptures. So the fact that Sopater is a man of Berea might confirm that he was from a town where there was a reputation for fair-mindedness, but even better and greater than that, there was a group of believers who had a reputation for searching God's word and seeking confirmation of what people were telling them in what God had already said. Much has been made of Berea and Bereans. I've been instructed many times by preachers in the pulpit to make sure that I am a Berean. They don't, of course, mean that I ought to change my nationality or my birth certificate, but rather I ought to be like the men, like people like Sopater. If somebody comes with a message or a prompting from the Lord, or a particular theological view or a particular hobby horse they like riding, does it conform to God's words? Well, I only know that if I'm prepared to read God's word, to love God's word, to breathe God's word. Only the other day I had somebody telling me how God's word ought to be declared and released. And I said, look, God's word should be believed and obeyed. And I think that is why the people of Berea, and Zapata among them, were great, because they were men and women of the word. And yet we're told that Zapata of Berea accompanied him to Asia. This, of course, is the Apostle Paul. Now, if I could sell everything I had, including model soldiers and all the rest of it, to spend a few hours with the Apostle Paul, I would give it all away, because I would love to do that. Well, actually, I'm going to go to heaven and he will be there as well, so I don't need to worry about the soldiers. But it seems to me a wonderful privilege to go on a missionary endeavour or part of a journey with the Apostle Paul. And yet the context tells us that people were always plotting against him and trying to kill him, and there was an uproar here and a plot against him there. Zapata Berea is still prepared to accompany him even when people are trying to kill him. Now, if you're accompanying somebody whom a large body of men are trying to kill, chances are they won't think twice about killing you as well. Paul, in this 20th chapter of the book, is a dangerous man to know. He's a dangerous man to be with. His is a dangerous message to preach and to share. Jewish people in particular are troubled by it. Romans are troubled by it. The Greeks are troubled by it. And then there's a whole host of pseudo-Christians who are adapting it and corrupting it. And yet we're told that Zapata of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Here is a man who is prepared to stick out his neck. Here is a man who, with a degree of boldness, with a degree of perseverance, is wanting to be with Paul even when he's at a particularly, apparently weak stage of his career, having to alter journeys and all the rest of it. Of course, he wasn't alone. The other people are also with him. We're told in verse 5, these men going ahead waited for us at Troas. It's not really clear to me if these men refers to people other than Zapata or includes Zapata. I think it includes them. So he is accompanying Paul, but he and those other men are also going ahead, waiting for us at Troas. Notice that Luke refers to himself there. So they're accompanying Paul, but they're also going ahead and waiting for the party. Well, what does that mean? It means they were going ahead to prepare. We don't know much about Zapata of Berea. I haven't got many more points to make after this one. So he's from Berea, where they had a real love of scripture. That's good. He accompanies Paul, even when the going gets tough. Also good. But he and the others also go ahead and wait for them. In other words, they're preparing. Now, Luke follows Paul's career with a great deal of interest. We know that Luke was there for part of it. But what was Zapata and his friends doing in preparation? Well, when Paul arrived at a new destination, or indeed an old one, he required accommodation. He required food. He required people to prepare meetings for him and find existing believers, or perhaps arrange a slot at the synagogue if he was going to preach the gospel for the first time. In other words, Zapata is one of those kind of backroom boys. I remember once in a school play being the stage manager. That was arguably the most stressful thing I've ever done in school drama. And yet nobody ever saw me. In fact, the stage manager is one you should never see. And if you do see him, it means some scenery is about to fall on somebody's head, or it's all gone wrong, or someone's gone missing, or the lights have gone out. But the school play, or indeed any kind of production, cannot really prosper unless there is somebody managing the background. I wonder if Zapata was a man like that. He and the others, he's not alone, I grant that, they go on ahead and wait for Paul and Luke and some of the others, not just because they were impatient, but because they knew there was backroom work to be done. There was stage management to be done, which has evaded the historic record, which we don't know about. But when Paul arrived, there was a bed and a room waiting for him. There was a hot meal waiting for him. There were a group of believers waiting to welcome him and to greet him. There were pulpit opportunities already being arranged. There were evangelistic endeavours already being booked into his diary. Who is doing all of that? Well, I wonder if, perhaps with the help of the others, it's our friend Sopater of Berea. Well, perhaps I do have a fourth point after all. He's a man of the word, but he's also a man of action. In fact, if anyone is a man of the word, they must be a man of action. To simply sit at home and read theology all day, or to memorise the catechism, or to do a memory verse, is good practice. But it also ought to be lived, worked out in fear and trembling, acted upon, demonstrated. So part of the Berean was not just a man who searched the scriptures daily. He is a man who walked with the Lord and walked with the Apostle Paul, literally. He goes with him to help him, but he also goes on ahead to prepare. Not everybody is called to preach, not everybody is called to lead a church, not everybody is called to be famous in the Christian world. But we are all called to serve and to support, to uphold, to pray for, to bless, to clear up, to offer hospitality, to offer a shoulder to cry on. I suspect our friend Sopater of Berea did a great deal for Paul and for the Lord, of which we know nothing, but of which the Lord remembers everything. Amen.